You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very sweet edition of the Wolf Packer Show. My name's Ethan McDowell. I am joined by Noah Fleischman, and we are here to talk Sweet 16 basketball. Noah, who thought we'd be here today? What a run by both Wolfpack basketball teams, and we're going to break all of it down. Of course, NC State men's basketball team is coming off a win over Oakland in overtime, while the women's team pulled off a dramatic win over Tennessee to secure their berth into the Sweet 16 in a matchup with Stanford this week. High stakes basketball. It is late March at this point. NC State is continuing their run deep into the both tournaments, and we are going to talk through both runs so far. We're going to look forward to their games coming up on Friday and maybe make some predictions as well. But before we do all of that, just a quick housekeeping note that we're both reporters for the Wolfpacker.com. That is NC State site on the On3 network, the fastest growing college basketball and football site out there. So if you're looking for team analysis, the latest stories from Dallas, where Noah will be this week, football recruiting scoop, spring practice info, it's all on there right now. It is a great time to join the site. So go check it out at the Wolfpacker.com. Right now it is only $1. To join for your first month. So doesn't get any better than that. Go check it out now. All right, Noah, let's not waste any time here. Let's talk some NC State men's basketball, continuing a run that has captured the hearts of NC State fans and fans all over the world right now. They are America's team, the only double-digit seed in the Sweet 16, one of four ACC teams in the Sweet 16. What a run by the Pack. What a run by the conference. Noah, how does it feel to be covering a Sweet 16 basketball team?
If you told me that a month ago, I would have told you were crazy. But here we are. They've played seven games in the 11-day time frame. They won all seven, which is wild. If you think about it like this, Ethan, they won seven games in 11 days or 12 days. Before that stretch, it took them 65 days to win seven games.
Wow.
On the calendar. They hit their stride at the right time. They're peaking. They're playing really, really good basketball. We're going to talk about it right now. NCAA tournament, NC State hasn't really had recent success in it. 2015 was the last time they had won a game. They made the Sweet 16. They've been a couple of times with Kevin Keats, didn't win a game. This time around, though, 2-0, Ethan, and they're in the weekend number two. A big step forward for the program and a big step forward, you know, just in general for Kevin Keats and the coaching job that we've seen, you know, him be able to pull off for these last, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah, and of course, you've been way on top of what this run means for his extension. Obviously, there was a lot of, you know, I'd say national and local speculation about his job security going into the ACC tournament. He's obviously eradicated any, like, speculation of where he's going to be next year. He'll be at NC State. He has secured an extension. Noah, can you run through some of the incentives he has secured so far? Because I think there's been some confusion on whether the extension incentives like compound or if it like tops out at a certain amount. So can you just provide some clarity on, what all the incentives that Coach Keats has secured during this run?
Yeah, we can start with the ACC tournament because that's really where it all begins. They won the ACC tournament, which unlocked a two-year extension for Kevin Keats to add on to the back end of his contract, which brings him through 2030. With that comes a $400,000 raise beginning next season. So he'll go, I believe, to about $3.1 million a year, somewhere in the ballpark of that. And he got a $100,000 bonus, just cash bonus, for winning the ACC title. Then when you get to the NCAA tournament, on his contract, it has a dollar figure associated with each round they appear in, but they don't compound. So by getting to the Sweet 16, he's reached a $100,000 bonus there. So he brings him to $200,000 in bonuses. There is a part in his contract that says he gets a year extension for making the Sweet 16. But there's two paragraphs that kind of contradict each other that are sitting right next to each other on the contract. It appears to me, after reading it like five times after the game, after they beat Oakland in Pittsburgh, here's it doesn't – he doesn't get that 1 year because he already hit the 2 years. Because there's one paragraph that says he can max out at 5 years. And then there's another one that says he can max out at 2 years in a single contract year. So the belief is it's 2 years. Anyway, if it is the 1 year added on, if we figure it out, that's fine because the contract does state it can't run past 2031, no matter what happens. So in theory, even if he hit that, it would max it out. So he's close to maxing it out either way. I would assume this contract doesn't mean anything soon enough because this offseason, I guarantee you, there will be a renegotiation of a contract for him to get him locked in. His agent's a smart guy. You read this contract. It's got a lot of incentives. He's got a good agent that was able to get that stuff mixed in. Kevin Keats, obviously, is coaching really, really well. Deserves probably a new contract to be drawn up. That $3.1 million salary, I bet his salary comes in around there. Maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But $3 million is probably where he's going to come in around. But he's earned it, and I think that's big, and we can tell you why. I mean, when they beat a Texas Tech team in Pittsburgh that was playing really, really good basketball and then beat a red-hot Oakland team, he deserves it. We'll see what they do. But right now, I don't think he's too focused on the money. He knows that's coming down the line. His agent's in charge of that. All he's doing is going to keep trying to win basketball games and keep making this historic run that they're on as an 11 seed, the last double-digit seed. And the ACC, as you talked about, has four teams. Two of those four teams are the lowest remaining seeds, with Clemson as a six and NC State as a one.
I mean, one of my favorite things about sports is how quickly you can turn a narrative on its head, right? And that's what he's done. I mean, he has completely shut all the haters up. I mean, he is on one of the most magical runs in NC State athletics history, and they're not done yet. Who knows what could happen? I mean, with the way they've been playing, I mean, Noah, they've scored, 79 and 80 points in the first two tournament games. The offense has been good, like really good. And Texas Tech, I mean, you look at it and you get 21 points from Ben Middlebrooks. No, he was awesome in that game on both ends of the court. He was really, really good. And just, you know, the whole team has been just playing at a different level. DJ Horn had his 16 points. I believe he started that game really well. And that's why I'm mixing up my games here. But one of the games, he started out really, really hot. Mo Diarra had 17 and 12 against the Red Raiders. DJ Burns had 16 on his way to capturing America's heart. And just everyone's stepping up, man. DJ Horn and Michael O'Connell combined for 11 assists and 11 rebounds in that game. Like, we've talked all season where we were always saying it just felt like there was one guard stepping up away from this being a really good team. And that's happened now. It's not necessarily the same person every night, but, you know, whether it's Casey Morsell helping out DJ Horn, whether it's a Jaden Taylor or Michael O'Connell, someone's always stepping up on any given night. That showed up against Texas Tech. It showed up against Oakland. Noah, just right off the bat, any big takeaways from either of these games that really stood out?
Yeah, you know, Ben Middlebrooks, we talked about him, 21 points. He scored 10 points. You know, it was really similar to the Virginia game at the ACC tournament. He came to that game, scored 10 points in his first 6 minutes on the floor. Against Texas Tech, he scored about 8 points in his first 6 minutes on the floor. He was able to get going quick and help settle down the team. But I think the biggest X factor in these last two games, we talk about Mo Diarra being the X factor. 12 rebounds against Texas Tech. He had another 13 against Oakland. But the guy I want to talk about is Michael O'Connell. Because the postseason Mike, they keep calling him tournament Mike for a reason. Because he's been on a new level of basketball. He scored in double figures in every game at the ACC tournament. He didn't score a single point in the first round game against Texas Tech. But he had 6 assists and 5 rebounds. Leading the offense against the Red Raiders, playing 37 minutes. It took 3 shots, missed them all. But he did really well creating offense in the first game. Second game rolls around, 12 points, 8 assists, 2 rebounds, and only 3 turnovers. So he's had, 13 assists, 3 turnovers, 7 rebounds, and 12 points in 2 games in the NCAA tournament. Talk about a point guard that can do it all. He knows his role. He can score the basketball when needed. He did that multiple times in the ACC tournament, including the Virginia game to hit the tying buzzer beater to send it to overtime.
Yep.
And then in the Oakland game, ball in his hands late, gets to the rim, draws the and one, gets them, I believe, put them up at the time, later goes to overtime. He's playing his best basketball, I think, that he's ever played at the college level. Scoring the ball, dishing the ball, doing everything he's asked to do. And you ask him about it, he'll just he really doesn't like to take the credit, which is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of frustrating when you see a guy playing so well and he's just such a team player and he just, like, you know, everyone's hitting shots and he's getting assists because everyone else is hitting shots. But, man, he's setting people up for success. And I don't know where NC State would be without a point guard like him right now.
And you know that the first game against Texas Tech, I never thought they were going to lose that game. They were in control for pretty much that whole game. When is the last time we can say that about a NC State men's basketball tournament game? It's been years. It's been years. So they're playing at such a high level right now. Testament to the staff getting them ready for this run. Clearly they're dialed into the scouting reports there, and I'll use that as a transition to go into the Oakland game. 79-73 win, goes to overtime. This one did not feel as in control. It was definitely a back and forth slugfest, a really fun game to watch. But I thought they did a great job defending Jack Golkey, the darling of March, who hit a bunch of threes, upset Kentucky. And, you know, he finished the game with 22 points, but I thought they did a really, really good job, making it difficult for them, especially in crunch time. Casey Morsell, I thought, just was outstanding.
Yeah, they did a great job of, like, a team defense on him. Casey Morsell drew the assignment most of the night, and they were playing him physical. They were going to basically foul him until the foul was called, and they didn't call a lot. And he only shot 5 free throws in the game. They were holding on to him. They were doing all sorts of things. Because the way Oakland tries to get him open is run a lot of elevator screens, run him through the defense, kind of get the defense confused and leave him open. Well, the one way you don't get them confused is if you have somebody literally riding on his back and you're following him around. Casey Morsell did that really, really well. Jaden Taylor had some time on him. DJ Horn had some time on him. Michael O'Connell had some time on him. Basically, all the guards saw a little bit of Jack Golkey. But Casey Morsell took that assignment to heart. Limited him only to 6 made threes, which in a normal game, that's a lot of threes to give up to somebody. But he took 17 shots, made 6 of them. He went 10 for 20 against Kentucky, where Kentucky really wasn't playing him like a shooter. They were just letting him shoot, and he was knocking them down. NC State read the scouting report. They stuck with him. I thought they did really, really good on him. Trey Townsend, again, another guy. He scored 30 points. He's their forward, 6'6", their big guy. He had 30 and 13, which seems like a lot. He was 11 of 25 from the field. They made it hard for him, too. DJ Burns matched up with him for a lot of the night. Mo Diarra, Ben Middlebrooks, they all did pretty well. I especially think that, you know, when Diarra and Middlebrooks fouled out in overtime, DJ Burns really took over the game and was helped to able to close this one out. But Oakland scored 73 points. 52 of them came from two players. I think NC State went to the scouting report and saying, hey, these two guys are going to get their points. Don't let anyone else score. It's basically what happened. A lot of guys with single figures or no points coming out of their bench. So good execution of the scouting report. That was something we've seen. We saw in the regular season down the stretch was Kevin Keith was saying, scouting report wasn't followed. Scouting report wasn't executed. The defense didn't travel at certain points. Well, whatever they did between Saturday at Pitt and the last regular season game through the tournament, it's been really remarkable to watch, remarkable to see this team lock in. And two wins over two good teams. Oakland's a really, really good team. I know they're a 14 seed. They beat Kentucky. They've got a really good coach. They're a bought-in team. They were a confident group. But NC State did enough to escape that in overtime. And granted, Ethan, I thought it was over. They come back and tie it late, force overtime, and I was like, okay. Well, first of all, Casey Morsell almost hit a 3-quarter court shot.
Yeah.
He almost hit that. But talking to the guys after the game, they said once it went to overtime, they knew they had it. They knew that they had a chance to beat them, and they did. And now, for the first time in all these guys' careers, they're playing past the first weekend in the NCAA tournament.
And, man, I think, this is, no matter what anybody says, I won't necessarily call NC State a basketball school, but there is such a rich tradition of basketball at NC State. I've been here for a couple years, but I've, you know, followed NC State for a long time. It's been so much fun to see that passion really reignite over the last couple of weeks. So that's been really exciting to see. I'm really excited to see how that, you know, excitement continues into this weekend and beyond, because this feels like it could be a turning point for the men's program, but it starts certainly this Friday against Marquette. The Golden Eagles, regular season second seed in the Big East, to finish runner up in that conference. A really good conference that has been really good in March so far. I believe they're undefeated out of the few teams that made it out of that league. And, you know, they started the tournament strong. They beat Western Kentucky by 18 points and then followed that up with a 4-point win over 10 seed Colorado. So to set up a rematch of the 1974 national championship game, Noah, initial thoughts on the Shaka Smart-led Marquette Golden Eagles?
This is a good team. You know, it's one of the better teams that I've seen, you know, probably all year. They did finish runner-up in the Big East to UConn. They got blown out in the championship game, but they were without Tyler Kolek, who I think is their best player on the floor. He was hurt. He's back. He's playing really, really good basketball for them. You know, they've got four guys that average in double figures scoring. Cam Jones leads the way at 17.1. Tyler Kolek at 15.3. Osa Iguodaro, their big man, at 13.6. And then David Joplin, another forward, at 11 points a game. But it really comes down to Tyler Kolek. He's a guy that really does it all. They don't go deep. He played 40 minutes against Buffalo, or against Colorado, had 21 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. Fills it up. For a guy that started his career at George Mason in like 10, he's heck of a find for Shaka Smart and has turned this team. I think he's really their X factor. And it's going to be an interesting game against Marquette, against Shaka Smart, who at one point was being courted by NC State to be the coach. Imagine what would have happened if he was hired after Sidney Lowe was fired. He ended up staying at VCU for a couple more years before going to Texas and Marquette. But I think this game is going to be really won by the guards. I mean, that's where it's going to have to be won by. I know that NC State has the advantage in the inside with its depth at the post, with its sheer size at the post with DJ Burns. But I think it's going to come down to, can the guards defend again? First game, Oakland game was, I think, won by the guards for NC State and being able to shut down a really red-hot shooter. This time around, you got to shut down a guy that can do basically everything. And it's going to be, you know, something to watch. But anything can happen in March, Ethan. 2 seed. I don't think the seeds matter at this point, when you get to the second weekend. But Marquette is a really, really good team. They're playing really, really well. They were a top 5 team in the AP poll for a while this season, too. So there's a reason why they're still playing in March.
Absolutely. And that'll be a 7:09 tip-off in Dallas this week. And like I said, Noah will be there all week. So, you know, we're keeping him on the road. He's, you know, getting to know Raleigh's airport really well right now. And he'll be having some fun in Dallas. And he's doing such a good job, folks. If you're not reading his content on the wolfpacker.com, go check it out. He's writing stories that I promise you no one else is. And in my very biased opinion, at a higher quality. So go check it out on the wolfpacker.com. Again, $1 to subscribe. All right, Noah, before we switch gears to the women's team, I want to get a prediction. I'm gonna ask you for a prediction here. Gut check. How are you feeling about NC State's chances at moving on to the Elite Eight?
You know, I'm feeling good. It was one of those things where my gut told me at the ACC tournament, I went through 3 games straight where I was like, I don't think they got it. Duke, Virginia, Carolina. Went into those 3 games, they got it. This is it. Season's over. They proved me wrong. Then they beat Texas Tech handily, and I was like, okay, this team is doing something right. Texas Tech, interesting, kind of a similar team to Marquette. Marquette's a little bit more well-rounded. But NC State did really good at running their guards off the 3-point line, keeping their big men in check, using its size to its advantage. I think NC State does it again. As long as they execute the game plan to perfection, there's really no room for error anymore. You know, costly turnovers are going to hurt. Missed assignments are really going to hurt. But I think NC State, the way they're playing basketball right now, I don't think there's a hotter team in the country not named UConn.
Yeah.
Not named UConn. I think UConn's obviously the hottest team in the country. That's but fair. When you take them out of the mix, the presumptive national champion already, I think that NC State's right there. I think the Wolfpack We'll spend the full weekend in Dallas. We'll see what happens. If they win, they'll play the winner of Duke and Houston, which I know CBS will be drooling over if that happens. Storylines galore. You have another rematch of a national championship because, speaking of Marquette, NC State beat Marquette 50 years ago on Monday, this past Monday, for their first national championship. If they were to win and play Houston, they'd be playing a team that they beat like 40 years ago in the national championship in 83. My math's right, so we're good.
You got it.
And 41, I guess, years ago. But, you know, another storyline. Or they play Duke again, and Duke is Duke, and that's a triangle game to go to the Final Four, which the last thing on the men's team before we get to the women, I think this is a team that sees how close they are to the Final Four. You mm-hmm. are two wins away from going to Phoenix, playing at the Arizona Cardinals Stadium in front of a national – I mean, they're in the national audience now, but, like, the Final Four is different. I think this team has believed. They have set a goal of getting to the Final Four. They're over halfway there. Seven wins down, two more to go to get to it, four more to go to win a national title. That's obviously every team's goal at the beginning of the year, but I think now they can actually see there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that's a dangerous thing when you look at a team that's been playing desperate for the past 2 weeks that finally can see what their goal is right there, and now they just need to get to it.
And, man, we're both so lucky to be covering this run. And, yeah, I'm really excited for Friday. I'm really excited to see how this weekend unfolds, because I think anything's on the table for this team right now. They're going to be tough to beat by anybody. I don't care if it's UConn, if it's whoever, Houston, Duke, Marquette. We'll see. But NC State is playing amazing basketball right now. So soak it all in, NC State fans. This is a magical run. All right, we're going to take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace, whether you're looking for tickets to, a Sweet 16 game in Dallas, or a Canes game, a concert, a comedy show. They have it all. It's all there on the Game Time app. You can find it on any app store or on your web browser at gametime.co. It's not .com, by the way. That's .co. I use the app all the time. My favorite thing about it is two things. One, you can buy tickets like the day of the game, right up until tip off, puck drop, kickoff, whatever you're looking for. And I really like that when you log on to the app, you can see the exact view from the seat where you'd be sitting. I'll hold it up for those watching on YouTube, but you can see on the app right there. You can see at this, for this Canes game, you can see what it looks like to sit in section 318 row K if you want. And get a ticket for $66 to see the Red Wings play the Hurricanes. Good deals on there, and we'll sweeten the deal even more. If you go on there, use the app or web browser, I suppose, as well, and use code WOLFPACK, that's all caps WOLFPACK, and you get $20 off your first purchase. So that sweetens the deal a little bit more, makes it a little more cost-effective, and even more reason to go to your app store, download the Game Time app, or check it out at gametime.co. All right, Noah, let's switch gears and talk about another exciting run, NC State's women's team. Expectations were certainly a little different, but I think people forget this was the team that was projected to finish eighth in the ACC this year. Of course, they surpassed that bar two games into the season when they beat UConn. And I bring up the UConn game because holy crap, Reynolds Coliseum last night. We covered that UConn game early in the season together, and I was telling you then, like, my ears were ringing for like a solid like 2 hours after the game because it was so loud in Reynolds. It's been packed all season. It's been, you know, it's been sold out the entire conference slate. I've never heard it. It's close. I'll say it was very close to UConn. It has not been that loud since the UConn game last night against Tennessee. Like, it was just absolutely shaking, that building. And it was a, you know, needed atmosphere because that was a tough game. NC State won 79-72, but it was back and forth, just teams trading blows. It was high-scoring first quarter. NC State went up 24-23, but both teams, it was back and forth, back and forth. Then NC State dominated in the second quarter, outscored Tennessee by 17 to take that massive lead to halftime before Tennessee slowly crawled back, got it within two at one point in the fourth quarter, but the Wolfpack pulled it off, moves on to the Sweet 16, picks up win number 30 this season. So hugely successful year for the Wolfpack. And now they're moving on to the Sweet 16 against Stanford, a team that, well, I guess they're going to match up against every year now. Future ACC opponent, Stanford Cardinal, the number two seed in this Portland regional. So the Pack is hopping on a plane and heading west. Noah, let's start with the Tennessee game. I know you said you watched it on TV. Impressions of that win? I mean, I thought it was one of their best performances of the season overall. But what did you think of the Pack defending Reynolds Coliseum for the last time this season?
Yeah, I think it was one of their better games they've played as just a complete team. Yeah, 7-point win. They're playing a team with Rekia Jackson, who's obviously a top three pick in the WNBA draft this year. She's really, really good.
Yeah.
A mismatch for NC State. But they made her work for 33 points. She took 22 shots, only hit 13 of them. Made her work. But the thing I was most impressed with throughout this entire game was the 6 minutes that Maddie Cox played
in
the second quarter. She locked down defense on Rekia Jackson. I believe Rekia only made one shot in the second quarter, and I'm not sure. I don't even think Maddie Cox was guarding her.
I don't think she was guarding her on that play. So, yeah.
Yeah, Maddie Cox, a freshman playing really, really well on defense, turned around, hit a big-time three to end the half. I'm shocked she didn't play the rest of the game, but, I mean, hey, she showed she can play and hang with one of the best players in college basketball right now, and I think that is a big building block for Wes Moore to work with. They only play seven players, like always. But, yeah, I think that overall it's a good win for them because Tennessee made a run late, made it interesting. NC State was able to close it out at the free throw line, hit most of their free throws, 14-19 on the day. Not great, but not bad either. They did enough to win. And, yeah, I mean, Wolfpack move on. As you said, they had high expectations for this team coming to the tournament. But if somebody told you in October that this NC State team would start the year 14-0 and do what they're doing, I think you take it. And that's what they're doing right now. They're playing really, really good basketball, playing quality teams. I mean, Chattanooga that they beat in the first game, quality team. Quality mid-major team that they handled really, really easily. And then Tennessee, obviously, Lady Vols are a story program. Kelly Harper came back to NC State for the first time. And NC State took care of business. And as you said, sets up a pretty interesting game in Oregon.
You know, the matchup with the Volunteers was so interesting because they're one of the few teams in the country that's taller than NC State.
Yeah.
I mean, the Pack starts, you know, 6'5" River Baldwin, 6'3" Mimi Collins, and then their point guard is 6'1" and takes all the jump balls this season because her wingspan is long and Snaya Rivers can, you know, jump out of the gym. So really tall, really athletic Pack team. And then you match up against Tennessee, who might actually just be taller. I mean, you had Madison Hayes, one of the best defenders in the conference, matched up against Rekia Jackson, former college teammate, actually, at Mississippi State. Rekia's taller. I thought in the second half, Madison did a pretty good job guarding her. And Madison also hit a couple of big shots as well. But I thought the Pack followed the scouting report really well. You know, Tennessee's starting center, Tamari Key, who's from Cary, returned home. And she picked up two early fouls. And I think that was a huge difference because you saw it in the second half when she was in the game. NC State's offense looked way worse because the Volunteers had Key in there protecting the rim. But in the second quarter, Key went out with her foul trouble. And then Tennessee stuck with a man-to-man defense. And, Noah, it's really hard to guard NC State if you're going to play man. You have to have a rim protector like Key to help because when you don't, it's going to be a long day because Isaiah James can get to the rim with these. Sanaya Rivers and Zoe Brooks, they can all drive and get to the rim quite easily, which they did. Also shot really well from three. I believe it was like 5 for 6 or something in the second quarter. So really strong shooting performance in that second period and just a strong performance overall. You know, Zoe Brooks was really good, scoring 16 points. You know, I folks have kept asking her, myself included, of course, asking her teammates about her. And they're done calling her a freshman. They've been done calling her a freshman. They're over it. To them, she's a veteran at this point. And she played like it against Tennessee. And the last thing I want to mention about that game is Isaiah James. She was already an all-ACC player, already showed she's one of the best scorers in the conference. I think we are watching her take another leap. I think we are watching her develop into what could be an All-American senior season next year. She has taken a leap as a facilitator. She had 7 assists against the Volunteers. She's a dynamic scorer, one of the best scorers in the country, like I said. Dropped 22, 10 in the fourth quarter when the Pack really needed it. There were 2 occasions where, one right at the start of the quarter when Tennessee cut it to 6, she immediately scored twice. Then when they cut it to 2, the closest they got for the rest of the game with, I think, some 4 minutes and change to go in the game, she did it again and scored back-to-back buckets, including a huge 3. So she's clutch. That's all there is to it. Having a closer in March is so critical, and they have that in Isaiah James. And they're going to need another big performance from her, Noah, because Stanford is no joke. The Cardinal are really good, of course, led by legendary head coach Tara Vanderveer, the winningest coach in college basketball. I mean, between the two coaches, there's like over 1,800 wins between these two. There's just a lot of storied history here. It's going to be a really, really fun coaching matchup. This is the first time NC State has played Stanford since the 90s. It's kind of wild that they've never met in the tournament since then. NC State has only beaten them once. But again, it was in the 90s, long time ago. So it's going to be interesting to see what these two teams look like when they face off in Portland, Oregon. That game is going to tip off at 7:30 on Friday. So it really sucks that we aren't going to be able to watch the men's and the women's games separately. Like, there's going to be – most of the games are going to be overlapped. We'll see how – maybe we can get lucky and the men's game before NC State will end right on time, and we can get like a triple overtime game right before NC State plays. So there's a little bit of a buffer. But it sucks that there's a lot of overlap there. Noah, you said it on our message board today. We're just going to have to hope that YouTube TV's multi-view will let us put both games on the screen for the Wolfpack fans out there that want to watch both. But really intriguing matchup. Stanford's really good. Really, really good basketball team. I mean, they're the second seed for a reason, and they're led by Kiki Iriofen, who is a dynamic player. Scoring 19.2 points per game. Just a really, really solid, reliable 6'3" forward. She's been great. And she's joined in the front court by 6'4" forward Cameron Brink, who's probably going to be the number 2 or number 3 pick in the WNBA draft this year. So back-to-back games for the Pack playing top 5 picks in the WNBA draft. So they're going to have to match up against a really, really talented team that has had a lot of success this year. But, you know, with the Pack plays like how they've played, in the second quarter, they can beat anyone. And Stanford has some, some weird results. Like they got blown out by Gonzaga early in the year. I'm trying to look for common opponents right now. And they beat Duke by 3 in overtime. And then they beat Florida State by 12. They put 100 points on Florida State. So really intriguing matchup. Stanford, really, really solid team, really strong front court. So I think it's going to be a fascinating matchup between Mimi Collins and River, and Kiki and Cameron over at Stanford. So, it'll be pretty much a home game for Stanford on the West Coast. But hey, that's nothing new for NC State, right? They're used to that. So we'll see how that goes for the Pack. And I'm really excited. I have a good vibe around this team. I think they are talented enough to make a Final Four, Noah, and it'll be really exciting to see if they get there.
They got the talent to do it, Ethan. But I will say Stanford. I watched Syracuse last night. But Stanford's a good team. It will be interesting, though, you know, to see what they can learn from this game. Either way, because they're going to play them, you know, year in, year out after this. You're going to see them in March in the ACC tournament every year now. Like, this is going to be a good start to what's going to be, I think, one of the better rivalries in college basketball. They're on opposite ends of the country, but they're going to play each other a lot, especially in the ACC tournament, probably at the end of the tournament. So it'll be fun to watch and see what Westmore can pull out of a hat here and beat a really, really good Stanford team and figure out what to do after that.
Gotta love a good battle between Block S schools. So we'll see how that unfolds for the Pack. We'll be following both of them, covering both tournament runs, and that's all going to be on the wolfpacker.com. All right, folks, that is all for today's show. Thank you all for joining. You know, just looking ahead a little bit here. Pro Day is today. Noah's going to be heading to, you know, the Close King indoor facility to watch NC State's Pro Day. Spring game's right around the corner, which feels wild to say. After this weekend, regardless of what happens, Noah and I are going to have to lock in the football because we have a few days before you know, spring practice really wraps up. I dropped a recruiting scoop on this website earlier today. They have two top 100 recruits visiting right now, so go check that out. And you know, we're hard at work, you know, trying to get everything covered. So go check it out on thewolfpacker.com. Join the community. We have a really fun message board over there. And we'll talk to you all next week.